live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, we'll have the latest on the Taoiseach's visit to Donegal today, including a jobs boost for the region and a commitment given to mica-affected homeowners. An ethics hearing into the conduct of Donegal County Councillor John O'Donnell has been allowed to continue at the Standards and Public Office Commission after an application to halt proceedings was rejected. HICWA has identified a number of non-compliances at St Joseph's Hospital in Stranorlar, and Donegal is said to be among the county's worst hit with a decline in rural services. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin. First in news, while no formal announcement has been made by the Taoiseach today in relation to a redress scheme for mica-affected homeowners, it has been confirmed that those affected in Donegal will be offered equal treatment as those affected by pyrite. Earlier this year, it was announced by the Department of Housing that hundreds of homes with pyrite are to be repaired out of a budget of €30 million. As part of his visit to the county today, Leo Vratkar met with the Mica Action Group and an affected homeowner. PRO of the Mica Action Group, Eileen Doherty, says today's meeting was positive and is hopeful a further announcement of a redress scheme will be forthcoming in the next few weeks.
Obviously, we would love to have had an announcement today on redress, but unfortunately that did not happen. However, we do take heart from the conversation we had with the Taoiseach and with Joe McHugh today, and the sense that Taoiseach made a statement that we must, these affected homeowners must get equal treatment to pyrite. And his own words, he said it is only fair. He said that currently the issue is with the legal team in Dublin, and that it will then have to move on to the Cabinet and cost it. He asked a lot of questions about the cause of the issue, about other avenues for redress, and we went into great detail about that. We also spoke at length about the effects it's having on homeowners in the county, and we expressed the urgency of this issue and that we must see some action and we must see it soon.
So you are hopeful now following this that there will be action soon?
Well, we are absolutely hopeful that we will see some action. Again, as I say, this is the first time we've had a statement to say that we will have to be afforded the same treatment as those who are affected by pyrite. That's very heartening, and we are very, very hopeful that we'll have a positive statement in the next upcoming week.
Meanwhile, the president of the Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce has appealed directly to the Taoiseach to ensure funding is forthcoming for the infrastructural development of the region. Leonard Watson made his remark at a chamber business lunch attended by Leo Vratkar in Letterkenny this afternoon. Mr. Watson said progress is essential.
Infrastructure is by far the biggest key issue for our members. Firstly, our council has developed the TNT strategic routes proposal that will give us high quality routes from Letterkenny to Lifford, a bypass around Dalhousie, and creating a new road and bridge for Letterkenny, which starts at the Dry Arch roundabout. These projects will take the pressure off the town centre and help us ensure that traffic can flow in and around Letterkenny smoothly, and they can act more effectively as a gateway to the rest of the county. These strategic routes are now progressing through consultation and planning processes. Once they have made it through this stage, we ask that you ensure that the funding is made available immediately so that the full T10 project is completed in a timely fashion. Secondly, it would be remiss of me not to mention the A5N2 route from Derry to Monaghan. The dualling of this road is part of the Good Friday Agreement. Our businesses regularly travel back and forth to Dublin on a mostly single carriageway road that is unsafe. We've had promises and false starts, and while we understand that your government has remained committed to the project, we urge you to do whatever you can to make this a reality.
In response, the Taoiseach said he is frustrated at the lack of progress on the A5, but says his government is committed to it and other road projects for the county.
That is something that I discussed with Secretary of State in the last couple of weeks, and we really want to see work starting on that road. And I think once it does get started, it will fire ahead, and we're committed to see that happening, and not just because of the north-south value of it as well, but also the fact that it connects this part of Donegal with Bana and Mead and Dublin. Other projects which we're going to bring forward as well, of course, are improvements on the N56 between Dunglow and Glenties, and also between Mount Charles and Inver. And of course, the new dual carriageway and bypass for Kenny, which I think is so important for East. cases that you'll know and will link up with the A5 and N2 in the future. And also means improved services for Letterkenny Hospital, including the new radiology department, which was damaged back in 2013. Also parts of Project Ireland 2014 are four investment funds, totaling €4 million for rural urban development, climate action and disruptive innovative technologies. The Urban Fund in particular is targeted at towns with a population of more than 10,000, and its purpose is to open up new sites for development and new quarters for urbanisation. I think there must be opportunities for Letterkenny in that.
A €9.5 million investment has been announced today for E&I Engineering in Burnfoot with the creation of 90 jobs. With the support of Enterprise Ireland, the new jobs will include roles in engineering, project management, testing and production. The announcement was made by Taoiseach Leo Varadkar earlier today as part of his visit to Donegal, during which he officially opened the Cockhill Bridge. Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh has welcomed the new jobs announcement and says this is just part of a huge investment for Donegal.
I believe we're going to continue on the trajectory of infrastructural investment that has started. If you take this year, for example, for National Roads, primary and secondary with upwards of €40 million been invested, and for non-national roads with another €40 million. So that's an €80 million investment this year alone.
This evening, the Taoiseach is due to meet with the mother of Danielle McLaughlin. A visit was initially refused by the office of the Taoiseach, claiming the 28-year-old who was murdered in India in 2017 was not an Irish citizen. Following public outcry over the weekend and confirmation from Danielle's mother, Andrea Branigan, that her daughter had dual citizenship, the department confirmed a meeting would take place this evening. An ethics hearing into the conduct of Donegal County Councillor John O'Donnell has been allowed to continue at the Standards in Public Office Commission after an application to halt proceedings was rejected. Independent Councillor John O'Donnell is before SIPOC facing counts of breaching ethics legislation. Councillor O'Donnell is one of three sitting councillors who featured on an RTÉ Investigates programme facing ethics inquiries at SIPOC this week and next. Niall Colbert reports.
On the RTÉ Investigates programme, Councillor John O'Donnell was seen offering to lobby on behalf of a fictitious wind farm company in exchange for money or the promise of a loan or an investment in a private business. Councillor O'Donnell subsequently said the nature of the meeting was misrepresented to him and he attended it as both a businessman and a councillor. According to RTÉ News, Councillor John O'Donnell's barrister Mark O'Connell took issue with the hearing going ahead today as some of the evidence was based on the evidence of an anonymous witness. Mr. O'Connell said he was very troubled by the fact that Niamh Carlson, the name used by an undercover reporter in the programme, was not at today's hearing. After a short adjournment, Mr. Justice Daniel O'Keefe said the Commission had decided to proceed with the case. The hearings in front of the six-member Commission will decide if the three councillors contravene the ethical framework laid out in the Local Government Act 2001. The hearing continues today and SIPOC is expected to report on each of the three cases being heard in a few weeks. Time.
Donald Trump has cancelled his planned visit to Ireland in November. Last month, the US president announced his intention to come to Ireland, taking the government by surprise, saying he would return to Ireland to renew the deep and historic ties between the two countries. Opposition parties had called for protests to coincide with the visit, and ministers of state John Halligan and Fionnuala McGrath both said they would participate in any demonstrations. It's not clear why the visit has been cancelled. It's believed the decision was made in the US. HICWA has identified a number of non-compliances at St Joseph's Hospital in Stranorlar. In a report published today, it found that residents were happy with the care and attention received from staff, but noted a number of issues with the premises itself. The inspection was carried out in February with 60 residents in place at the time. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The report published by HICWA this morning notes that residents who communicated with the inspectors and filled out questionnaires were happy with the services they received. They were positive with regards to the control they had in their daily lives and the choices they could make. They were also happy with the support and assistance provided by staff. There were a number of non-compliances identified in the report, the most serious of them a finding that adequate precautions had not been taken against the risk of fire. In response, management indicate that since the inspection in February, a new evacuation plan has been implemented and protocols introduced to address that problem. That action is noted as completed. A number of other non-compliances were noted in the premises itself, with findings that there was insufficient space between beds and not enough storage space. The report notes these issues have been periodically reviewed by the HSC and some plans were discussed. To date, the authority has not received a costed, time-bound plan to address the deficits, and the matter remains outstanding.
Meanwhile, the Department of Health has confirmed it has received all documents in respect of revised proposals for Donegal Community Hospitals. The news comes after it was first revealed last July that the department had stalled granting approval for revised HSC plans to retain and refurbish long-stay residential care beds presently housed at Lifford, Remelton and St Joseph's Community Hospitals. They claimed that it was seeking additional information from the HSC before a decision would be made on the future of the facilities. The documents will now be considered by the HSC. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says this now must move to the next stage without delay.
Earlier in the summer, the department wasn't satisfied and looked for additional information. The confirmation that I've got from the Minister is that information has now been given to the department and they are now assessing all of the information and will make a decision shortly. And I'm calling on the Minister and the department to make that decision very, very swiftly and to put this long saga to an end, to give certainty and surety to the people who call St. Joseph's their home, call Remelton their home and Lifford their home, that those long-stay beds will be there into the future.
Do you feel that the submission of these documents will cement the issue in the sense that they won't be able, what you've termed as passing the buck and doing U-turns and so on?
Yeah, well, it's clearly now a political decision after a long campaign by groups across Donegal in the three different areas and a combined campaign group by the three different campaigns. What they have been able to do is get the HSC to reverse their decision to close long-stay beds. What the HSC now is looking for is for the department and the minister to okay that, to sanction that, and to make the necessary funding available to bring those beds up to standard.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Find the perfect running shoe for you at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Harry Arter has said to be open to return to the Republic of Ireland fold. The online Cardiff midfielder is absent from the squad for this week's games after his summer altercations with assistant boss Roy Keane came to light. It's believed Ireland captain Seamus Coleman has been acting as a go-between Arter and their Ireland management in an effort to ease him back into the squad. Meanwhile, having only been drafted into the squad at the weekend, Ronan Curtis could make his Republic of Ireland debut in tonight's friendly with Poland. The Portsmouth forward has scored 5 times in 6 appearances for the League One outfit following his move from Derry City. Martin O'Neill is light in striking options, with John Walters now unavailable. With a lengthy absentee list, O'Neill's anticipating another tough night.
We're missing a couple of our main players, but even so, we should still do better, and it'll be a difficult evening for us. But we want to try and get back to our strengths as much as we possibly can, and like to make it as difficult as we could for Poland.
Polish striker Robert Lewandowski, he could make his 100th appearance tonight. Kickoff in that game is at 7:45. And the Ireland under-21s face a crunch European Championship qualifier against Germany in Tala this evening. And it is a Group 5 top-of-the-table clash. Noel King's side trail the Germans by 2 points with 3 games remaining. Ronan and Rory Hale, both of Derry City, and former Finn Harps player Ethan Boyle, now with Shamrock Rovers, are all hopeful of featuring at some stage in that game. They've made 3 changes for the game tonight. Cork City's Sean McLaughlin replaces the ill Danny Kane. Rochdale's Ryan Delaney replaces Ryan Sweeney. And up front, Jack Mulrany comes in for the suspended and promoted Ronan Curtis. Kick off on that one is at 6 o'clock. And elsewhere, there's a senior friendly action. Northern Ireland, they welcome Israel to Windsor Park, and England, they take on Switzerland at Leicester's King Power Stadium. In the Nations League tonight, Iceland, they could face another tough night. Having been thrashed 6-0 by Switzerland at the weekend, they play host to a Belgium side that put four past Scotland without reply on Friday. Meanwhile, World Cup semi-finalist Croatia, they're in Elche to face Spain. Well, back at home, League of Ireland clubs could find themselves relegated to a third-tier European competition. UEFA's executive committee will vote on a new competition, which could be introduced as early as 2021. It will likely see the Europa League pared down from 48 to 32 teams at the group stages. And the schedule for the FAI Cup semi-finals has been set. Dundalk, they'll welcome UCD to Oriel Park on Friday, September the 28th. Kick-off there is 7:30. While Cork, they'll travel to either Bohemians or Derry City on Sunday the 30th with a 5:45 start at the host venue. Up in Scotland, Hampden Park's to remain the home of Scottish football. The Scottish FA is to stick with the Glasgow venue for international matches rather than moving to Murrayfield in Edinburgh. The organisation will buy the venue from Queen's Park FC once its current lease expires in 2020. Back in the Championship, their leaders, Leeds, they have lost summer signing Patrick Bamford for the next 4 months. He's injured a knee ligament during an under-23 game against Bristol City on Friday. The striker recently moved to Elland Road from Middlesbrough for around £7 million. In Gaelic games, Kieran Donaghy can be a Kerry manager of the future. That's according to Eamon Fitzmaurice. The 35-year-old forward called time on his inter-county career today, ending 14 years in the famous green and gold of the kingdom. Donaghy was named Footballer of the Year in 2006, the same year he helped win Kerry the first of his four All-Ireland titles. The Austin Stacks man is brimming with ideas and has the personality to go into management, according to Fitzmaurice, his former manager and teammate. Well, Mark O'Shea, he calls Donaghy the best teammate he ever had, while Killian Young simply describes him as an icon. In rugby, Geordie Murphy has been ruled out of Ulster's Pro 14 meeting with the Southern Kings on Sunday. The Ireland flanker sustained ankle ligament damage during his debut against Edinburgh last weekend. Chris Henry's another that won't be heading to South Africa after suffering a calf strain in the Ulster A game with Leinster. And in better news for Dan McFarland, Tom O'Toole, Jan Dessel, Clive Ross and Tommy O'Hagan have recovered from their respective injuries and are all available this weekend. In rowing, the Irish lightweight double crew of Denise Walsh and Aoife Casey missed out on a place in the main semi-final at the World Championships in Bulgaria. They placed third in this morning's repechage, but that was only good enough for a CD semi-final berth. Five Irish boats take to the water in Plovdiv tomorrow. And in motorsport, veteran Kimi Raikkonen is to leave Ferrari Formula 1 team at the end of the season. He's to be replaced by Charles Leclerc. The Finn is moving to Sauber. And finally for this evening, in cycling, Britain's Simon Yates has extended his lead in cycling's Vuelta a España. After a good time trial, he's now 33 seconds ahead of the chasing pack. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. Vicky Phelan is among those meeting with the author of the report into the cervical cancer scandal. Their meeting was brought forward after details of the report were leaked. From Leinster House, Stephanie Rohan reports.
Disgusting, cruel, heartbreaking and scandalous. Just some of the words used to describe the leaking of some of Dr. Gabriel Scally's report. He's been examining how around 200 women who were diagnosed with cervical cancer were given incorrect results. It's reported he believes a full commission of inquiry into the controversy isn't needed. Taoiseach Leo Varga says he doesn't want to comment on that speculation until the report is published and said he was disgusted and appalled at the leaks. The opposition says the leaks show a total disregard for those involved. Here's Fianna Fáil's Micheál Martin, Sinn Féin's Louisa Riley and Labour's Alan Kelly.
It's scandalous that this was leaked and spun, I think, by the government, sources within the government. They need to explain what happened here. I think it's very cruel to the women concerned.
There was no benefit, there was no compassion, there was no reason that this had to be leaked.
The fact that this was spun out into the media on a day like this before Scally was reporting tomorrow really says an awful lot, and it's frankly disgusting.
Vicky Phelan, who's described the leak as a whitewash, is among those meeting with Dr. Scally. The report's due to be published tomorrow. Stephanie Rowan, Leinster House.
Donegal is said to be among the counties worst hit with a decline in rural services. There are now calls on the government to invest properly in rural Ireland as part of Budget 2019. Irish Rural Link is to meet with the Finance Minister today to discuss their wish list for the upcoming budget, with broadband and job creation expected to be high on the agenda. Seamus Boland, Chief Executive of Irish Rural Link, says delivery is needed now.
The lack of investment in rural areas is still a problem. And of course, Donegal suffers greatly from areas losing out to no broadband, etc. So therefore, we need to encourage investment in these areas. So we're certainly calling for this to be addressed forthwith. There was the announcement of the 2040 plan, and we need to see some of that delivered in this budget.
And this meeting today, do you think it will spur these calls on, as it were?
Yes, I think so, because I think, you know, we can't have launches of 2040 plans and we can't have talk about rural Ireland catching up as a kind of a waste of time talk. There has to be delivery, there has to be actions. The fact that 6 points is the difference in terms of employment and unemployment as compared to the rest of the country, or Dublin in particular, that has to be addressed, and that can only be addressed by investment, making sure people are able to afford a cost of living and the increases that are happening now. And we really do want that investment to be increased in rural areas.
Hundreds of nurses and midwives gathered at Cork and Limerick University hospitals today for a second day of planned protests. They held demonstrations outside the front entrances of the respective hospitals to protest against the overcrowding crisis and staff shortages. Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation say they are planning further protests at other hospitals over the coming weeks. Mary Fogarty from the INMO says nurses just want to be treated fairly.
Nurses are the lowest paid professional grade in the Irish health service. In fact, they're the lowest paid professional grade in the public sector. We're just looking for parity with the other healthcare professionals. We're not looking for anything more. We're not saying we're better than them, but we're saying we're equal to them, and that what we contribute to the services is as important as other professional grades.
And there are two Donegal people noted in the latest list of tax defaulters just published by Revenue. Nunzio Magliogo, a fast food provider from Main Street Valley Buffet, has been ordered to pay over €336,000 for the undeclaration of income tax, PAYE, PRSI and GSC, €331,500 of which remains unpaid as of June the 30th, while farmer Ivor Stewart of Elistrin Letterkenny paid just over €117,600, including interest and penalties, in respect of the undeclaration of capital acquisitions tax. Finally, for weather now, a breezy and mostly cloudy evening with some scattered showers. It will be mostly dry tonight with just a few showers and lowest temperatures of 7 to 8 degrees. Just to have a look at the closing headlines, while no formal announcement has been made by the Taoiseach today in relation to a redress scheme for mica-affected homeowners, it has been confirmed that those affected in Donegal will be offered equal treatment to those affected by pyrite. Meanwhile, the president of the Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce has appealed directly to the Taoiseach to ensure funding is forthcoming for the infrastructural development of the region. An ethics hearing into the conduct of Donegal County Councillor John O'Donnell has been allowed to continue as the Standards and Public Office Commission after an application to halt proceedings was rejected. Independent Councillor John O'Donnell is before SIPOC facing counts of breaching ethics legislation. And ICWA has identified a number of non-compliances at St Joseph's Hospital in Stranorlar. In a report published today, it found that residents were happy with the care and attention received from staff, but noted a number of issues with the premises itself. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The The obituary notice is for this Tuesday evening, September the 11th. The death has taken place of Mark McCauley, Dromahol, Manor Conyngham. Remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Columbus Church, Dromahol. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desire to Pieta House, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Roger McCarron, Carmore Road, Dunloe. His remains are reposing at his late residence with rosary both nights at 9 o'clock. Funeral mass on Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock in St. Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House strictly private on the morning of the funeral. Family time please from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has occurred in Phoenix, Arizona, and formerly of Killybegs, County Donegal, of Father Eugene O'Carroll. Remains arriving at Dublin Airport tomorrow, going to St. Mary's Church, Killybegs, for 7:30. Funeral mass on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the church grounds. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the cancer bus, care of any family member or McBurtie undertakers. The death has taken place of Martin McNeillis, Lochras Point, Ardra. His remains are reposing at the residence of his late brother, Paddy James, and Mary McNeillis, the post office, Lochras Point, Ardra. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The death has taken place of Mary Rose Coughlin, 94, Temple Grove, Buncrana Road, Derry, formerly Station Road, Dungiven. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Thursday morning, leaving at 10:15, going to the Holy Family Church, Ballymergorty, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the city cemetery. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desire to Chest, Heart and Stroke Foundation, care of any family member or Murphy funeral directors. The death has taken place of Paddy McFadden, Faher, Portnablat, Dunfanaghy. His remains will arrive at Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, this evening at 6:30 to repose overnight. Funeral mass there tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. And the death has taken place of Mrs. Jean Henderson, Mahara Boy, Rafo. Remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral from her residence tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 for service in Rafo Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the family plot at Convoy Presbyterian Church. Family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Rafo Presbyterian Church, care of Gibson Funeral Directors or any family member.